Hey guys, this is Eric Ramirez, senior editor at Billboard, and with me today is Jeff and Eric Rosenthal from It's the Real.
Hi.
My co-hosts.
Hey.
And Awful Records.
Yay.
Yeah. Awful.
Yep.
With many, many artists. If you guys want to quickly introduce yourselves while drinking Snapple.
I'm Abra. Dark Wave Duchess. What's up?
Hi, I'm Playboy Cardi, a.k.a. Cash Cardi.
We're going to have to talk about these names.
Keith
after.
Charles Spacebar.
Archibald Slim.
Sir Richard Poor Slim. I'm just Rich Poor Slim. I'm just playing.
And Young Hot Father.
So we got to know about these names, guys. We were talking about earlier how did you end up with the Twitter handle Father? Like, how did you have to fight for that?
I didn't have to fight for it. Somebody
Warren
else.
Ha-ha.
Some representatives. My representatives. My reps had to fight for that.
Okay, so the last time I saw you guys, I pretty much spent an entire day with you. And we followed Awful Records around for a day. And one of the things that that didn't make the cut that I want to talk about is, Father, your first jobs were super interesting to me, especially when you said that you had to, like, carry dead babies around at a hospital. I wish I made the cut and it didn't. Really? Or all, like,
that'd
your
new... That extreme.
Yes, well, now it's not extreme because now it's on the podcast. Yeah, but quickly, though, those first jobs and the barbecue restaurant spot.
Let's see. The first real job that I had, I was a transporter in a hospital, moving around, you know, sickly people.
Oh, so I went to an extreme and said dead babies.
No, I did the dead babies.
See, that makes much more sense than, like, you just saying it out of context.
I didn't do the dead
babies. When you say, like, oh, Father used to carry around dead babies all the time, like, that just seems like a weird hobby.
Dead people, you know, I had to do some morgue travel, you know, move people around the morgue too, so I've dealt with the deceased and the toddler deceased as well.
Oh, you said it so much better, and I feel horrible. I might have to cut that
dead
part
babies.
Out. I know. I really said it pretty extreme. Eric, are you gonna say
dead babies, also known as light work.
They were wrapped. They were wrapped like sandwiches, like
See,
Subway sandwiches.
That is worse than me
terrible.
Saying dead babies. If you're gonna say that they were wrapped up like sandwiches,
they just hand you. They were like, oh, there it is, and it's like.
I mean, it's disturbing as you thought it was. He told me they wrapped them up like baby Subways, like.
And either you can carry it like a football.
Carry it. Yeah.
I put the baby in a wheelchair, like, and I was just like, I don't want to.
So how long did you do this job for?
2 years.
Do you have nightmares about it?
Nah, not really.
So you guys are all up here just to hang, or are you doing work? I know you shot a video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we shot a video with Hiko Momoji. It's a snuggle anthem. Me and him were on the track, so we shot that on Sunday, and it's coming out on Valentine's Day. Yeah. So it should be really cool.
Really cool.
The song came out today, so check it out.
And we had like 4 shows last week.
You get a lot of love out here.
Oh, yeah,
sometimes it's different than the love you get in Atlanta.
Certainly.
Is it more extreme? Like, how is it very different?
I guess with Atlanta, it's like everyone out there is more so peers. And then you have the surrounding areas where a lot of younger folks come into the city to enjoy us, but we're surrounded mostly by other peers that, you know, are in the same age group as us. So I feel like people are more apprehensive to being like, oh yeah, we fuck with you. Oh, you know, can I say fuck?
Yeah, you can.
We fuck with you. Whereas you come here, it's like, oh, you guys are completely from out of state. Nobody knows you here. So it's like, turn up. We love this.
So like Atlanta for music is like Los Angeles for movies. It's sort of just like everybody, you know.
Yeah, everybody is involved.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody has a demo. Like everyone just... Yeah.
Precisely.
So when did it become like a real business to you guys then? I mean, if this is like just what you grow up doing, at what point is it like, oh, we're going to really take this like seriously and we're going to be able to get at Father on, you know?
Early 2013.
We decided to take it seriously and then it got serious for us.
Yeah.
Like, but what was the first like sort of tipping point for it?
We were going to start actually putting out music and selling it. Like when Archie dropped Kanye. It was the same time around you dropped How to Count.
Yeah.
And y'all, well, he didn't want to sell Kanye, but you sold How to Count. And then we was like, we're going to try and figure out how to get our music out there more and make more money off of it.
I feel like I came in a little late in the game, but the general consensus of what, like, I was noticing when everyone was coming in is, like, nothing else works for us. Like, I can't keep a steady job contently. He was quitting his job. He was quitting. It was like, there's nothing else for us to do. Like, it's either this or... There's nothing, like, there's nothing else you want to do, and that's kind of when it was just like, we got to really make this shit go, like, take it seriously, take ourselves seriously, and like make it everything.
So what is exactly like, because Mekonnen is like hanging out with you guys, OG Mako to some extent, I think, is around. Like, what is the Atlanta rap community like?
Well, it's like a bunch of different communities technically, because you got like the kind of smarter, like thinking men's hipster kids, you know what I'm saying, who come from like low income areas and shit too, but they just not super street niggas and shit. And then you got like the street niggas, you know what I'm saying, who also want to make music too. Mm-hmm. So it's those two lanes and shit. It's like Edgewood, you have all these hipster clubs and shit, and like Southwest Atlanta, you have all these hole in the wall, you know what I'm saying, like trap spots. Mm-hmm. Where they just gonna play Future all night and shit like that. And like those worlds collide often and shit, but it's still segregated. Like, that's the name of the game itself is segregation. Mm-hmm. Like it's a bunch of splits and divides, and just everybody's always just like picking sides. I was like, this is my group, this is your group, and you can't be in the middle, because we don't like people who just be in the middle. That's different.
Riding waves, basically. A lot of people like to ride waves where we're from.
But like last year, it was like all of us, like definitely Awful, Mekonnen, OG Mako, Key, and just like other people in like the little Indian scene. But like those main few, like we were all like working in tandem and together and bouncing ideas off each other and all kind of working towards like, we got to figure out how to make our own money off of this.
So does Future mean anything to you guys? Does Gucci mean anything to you guys?
Of course.
Yeah.
They the best. Future just dropped Beast Mode, which is the best tape that dropped in 2015. If anybody else tell you different,
like my man Curry told me, man, Gucci really show you how to live, for real. You can listen to Gucci, man, and just that would be a blueprint
Gucci
for the rest of your life.
Gucci pushed the culture forward.
For real.
I was just watching Vice put out their documentary, or he's putting out their documentary. It's like an 8-part series about Atlanta. And I mean, there's obviously a lot of issues that I have with people like Thomas, you know, being the narrator. But he says that Gucci is basically like the center of new Atlanta hip hop, and like that everything can sort of be traced back to him because he's the one guy who really like takes chances. Do you guys think that's true?
He's the greatest A&R that the city of Atlanta had in like the last 10 years.
Yeah,
and shit.
I will agree.
Because the thing about Gucci is, while he's Gucci, man, he's this superstar and shit. Like the difference is, like, he's not removed from either. You know what I'm saying? Gucci can bounce around from art. Like, he beats that segregation. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, he can go and be in jail for 6 months and find out about the Young Thugs and what's going on in the street and still go on Edgewood and just be like, hey, all these hipster kids love me. What's hot over here? You know what I'm saying? And, like, the way he works with music, like, he's, like, really a musical genius. Like, he has a super-duper work ethic, and he has an ear for just being like, this is what's cool. Mm-hmm. Let me put y'all together and whatnot. You know what I'm saying? Like, really, if he went to jail, like, he had the best indie Atlanta rapster ever. You know what I'm saying? Like, he had Young Thug, the Migos, Chief Keef, Scooter. He was about to acquire Dolph. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the super dream team. That's, like, the hip-hop all-stars right now.
Juice, man. Yeah, he puts on for the city. And, like, he's so respected. Like, you go anywhere and you can ask about Gucci, he's valid. And it's not just Atlanta. It's the South.
Being from Atlanta, being by Pat from Gucci. Straight up.
You know, I came down here and I was like, I have one question I need to ask these guys. They're from Atlanta. You guys have run into Gucci Mane. Who is running his Twitter account?
Oh,
what? Nobody knows.
I have no idea.
And everybody just
ghost.
Go with it.
I mean, a ghost.
A ghost. A
trap ghost.
A phantom. He probably just has his phone. Just has a phone.
He got three phones.
I'm pretty sure he has his phone.
There's like two great unsolved questions in hip hop. Who's running Gucci's Twitter account? And who is like Joe Budden's photographer? Like, who's getting in there and taking like all of his Instagram pictures? Like, that's what I really want to know in life.
Wait, you guys mentioned the segregation. You feel like you play into that? Is that a good thing that you guys are all separating these little pockets?
We segregated ourselves, kind of, and then, like, other people like us who were in their own little bubbles gravitated towards us, and we figured out our own little form of unity, I guess. But, like, we were part of segregation, too. We were just like, fuck the other side. Like, we don't know y'all, and y'all don't like us because y'all think we weird. When we just like trying to get
like
you
are. We glowed though, but I feel like because our clique is not glow because we trying to expand our shit. Like you got Gom, you got Slug, you got me. Like we're different. Like you know what I'm saying? Like it's all rap, but we're trying to expand like what we do also. So we're not segregating.
We're so mainstream. That's
everybody else.
They ain't ready for it.
what you owe.
I feel like the music that we bring to Atlanta is like
kind of universal.
It's like, what? These guys are from Atlanta? Like, who is, like, you really want to, like, you can't even tell, like, when you listen to somebody on the radio, you can be like, all right, somebody going in talking about trap and blah, blah. You can picture him based off that song. Oh, bruh, probably tatted up, chains, pats, got trap house. But you listen to our music, you like, dang, he's like, he got like 6 Nokia phones. They out here jugging, wrists. Like, you know, the streets are crazy right now. Like, we got it lit for real.
We also have different backgrounds and like what we came up with. Like, yeah. What, you know what I'm saying? Like, we listen to completely different music than what we make now, you know? So I feel like our music is very universal. So yeah. I don't feel like
we listen to all types of music.
Segregated shit. Like,
yeah, we like all music. We do not like.
We make music for everybody, I feel like.
When I first heard Look at Wrist, my first thought was like, it sounds so much like, and I was a big Cool Kids fan. And I was like, that sounds like what they would make now. And then I was so happy that they jumped on the remix, but like, was that at all in your head? Like minimal, like hip hop, like were you listening to them like coming up? Was that at all?
I had my phase of listening to that type of music. Yeah. But I would more so give my like props to Soulja Boy.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Honestly, like, I mean, I listened to a lot of Cool Kids and shit when I was in high school.
But those two things aren't that far apart.
Yeah, they're not far apart. Yeah. But it was more so Soulja Boy than Cool Kids.
Right.
But I can see where the comparisons would be drawn, especially with like Fake as Fuck. Mm-hmm. But if you were to have like a middle ground, I feel like I kind of bridged that from like Soulja Boy to Atlanta's Blunt Fang type of thing.
Have there ever been any limits on you guys? Because I feel like you've grown up in this space where it's just like, whatever you want to achieve, you guys are in charge, right? Like, you guys set the limits. It's, you want to record something? Cool. You'll do it, like, at your apartment. Or you want to put it out? That's on you guys. Like, you want to know how to market it? That's on you guys, right? Have there ever been any limits? Have people stopped you, like, from performing where you want to perform, or like working with who you want to work with, or releasing music that you guys feel is relevant or pushing boundaries?
If that happens, it's more so because if it's somebody we worked with and they have some type of binding agreement with somebody else, that's preventing us. But otherwise, we as a group, there's no limitations.
We kind of just coach each other, like, we might make a song and be like, hey, Avril, what you think about this? And she'd be like, I don't like this part. And I'd be like, well, I like it. Fuck what you talking about. And then I go back and listen to it. And I'm like, she right. I don't like this part.
We'll be the direct opposite, where it's just like you're asking somebody, like, oh, what do you think about this? And they're all just like, shut the fuck up and put it out. Like, yeah.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP lawn and garden and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big.
Like, also, so there was this, I saw something where it just said, like, kids are not watching TV anymore. Like, it's just people are not interested in, like, going in front of, like, a separate entity. They want to go in front of, like, their computer screen and watch whatever's there and more immediate when they want to watch it, right? Do you guys care about radio? Does radio exist to you guys?
I was about to say, like, radio, print media, and TV.
Shout out to Billboard.
I mean, I'm sorry, but y'all about to die. Yeah, but yeah, Bill, like, that shit's on the way out. It's going the way of the dodo. You know what I'm saying? They got long, long old money. Like, radio and print media been around for like 100 American years. Like, that's a lot of money to get rid of. But, like, millennial kids don't give a fuck about that. You know what I'm saying? Like, instant gratification, the name of the game. You know what I'm saying?
Netflix.
Why do I want to wait up, like, till 7 in the morning for the daily newspaper to come out when, like, at 6 this morning, all the articles were already up on my phone? You know what I'm saying? It's like, no one wants to try and tap in and cultivate that and tie it back into like the other shit. So like radio is all streaming, you know, the internet, SoundCloud, podcasts, all that gonna take over radio and shit. Cause like, besides, no one wants to listen to Top 40 all the time and shit. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just lame now.
Yeah.
That's true.
Obviously, you guys are do-it-yourselfers. When you watch someone like McConan link up with OVO and Drake specifically, does that give you guys a different perspective? Do you reconsider, like, where you want to go with the help of somebody who's in that position? Or is it just like, this is cool for you and
yeah,
you'll take any meetings and see what else is out there? But really, it's at the end of the
day. I kind of stopped with the meetings, honestly. Like, I was considering it for a second. I was like, what can you offer me? And after a while, I was just like, can't really offer me shit that I can't do for myself over a period of time, at least.
Wait, no, I think we talked about that a little bit on the series also, where you guys said that you could pretty much do this yourself because you're depending mostly on touring and streaming and all that.
Right.
So you're pretty much saying it falls on patience that you could kind of do this yourself.
Yeah.
When does it stop, though? When do you feel you're going to be like, you know what, this has to happen in order for me to consider signing something bigger?
I don't know if I can't really say when.
Because right now,
like my whole thing has been, I am doing a lot better now than I was last year.
Dead babies.
No more dead babies. No more dead babies. No more barbecue sauce on my fucking shirt when I get home. I don't smell like fried chicken or French fries or no shit like that. So it's like, I'm traveling.
That was a separate job, right?
Yeah, separate.
Okay, yeah. It's like, I don't know. Yeah.
No fried chicken in the hospital.
Okay.
We'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
But yeah, like I'm patient because it's going up. And I'm watching it go up, and I'm just like,
slow and steady wins the race.
Slow and steady wins the race for sure.
All right, so there's like 11 people signed to Awful Records. Is that right?
15.
15.
Four,
15.
How many?
15.
Dex 15. Is 15.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if we were to all, I'm including myself for some reason. I feel like I'm now signed. But if we were to all rob a bank, who would be the getaway driver? Who would be the grease man? Who would be,
Bagman.
Yeah, like if we were to treat this like Ocean's 11, like what would our roles be?
I'd be at the crib, waiting on it to come back.
You can't fuck out. He'd be that old fat guy who invested in the plan.
Yeah, I would invest in the plan.
Females, man.
Wait, what? What?
I'm going to be the inside man, you know what I mean? I just get hired like 2 months before by
yeah,
the bank.
Yeah.
I'd be like the grease man or the demolition man.
Who's a driver?
Archie?
Archie Stalin? Archie or Stalin is definitely a driver.
Yeah, like Don Cheadle. I'd be like Don Cheadle. Or like George Clooney or Matt Damon, one of them three.
Wait, but back to your point, ladies man. Yeah, females man. Wait, what question did you think that we were talking about?
I was testing females, and I thought y'all was just like, what are you doing? But yeah, but what was the question?
Who would you be?
Who I be?
Like what role?
Nah, man, yeah. I'm the one with
the
gun
that
because
shoots the security guard too fast.
Mr. White.
On some shit like that. On some shit like that, man. You know,
I saw him reaching for the gun. I just thought he was good.
Yeah.
Do you guys, like, you're putting out stuff, I mean, at a crazy clip, but are you guys, like, checking SoundCloud numbers? Does that even matter to you?
Yeah. Boy, I'm in the Matrix, man.
That's what
you're
supposed to do.
Analytics and everything.
You drop it?
I check, like now at this point, because I'm just so, like, everywhere else, I check it, like, every week and a half, 2 weeks. When I drop something, of course, I'm looking. But
I like to look at the numbers to try to see what
I check that
like,
shit.
You got to like yeah. How you gonna know what people like? Like
exactly.
Every song on your project might not sound the same, so you know what to make and what not to make again. Like, oh, this song didn't do that good, and I'm fucking with that song, so I'm gonna go back and do something else. So really, we dropping music fast because we're trying to revise our process and get shit right.
So when you mention analytics, and I assume you're serious about that,
yeah.
Like, do you see the different pockets across the country where you get the most interest, and is that then where you're like, oh, well, we should go tour there,
yeah.
And that's where we can sell some merch mm-hmm. there.
Have there been any like traditional DJs, DJ Drama, Don Cannon, any you know, like any of the guys who put out full?
What the fuck is
up? What's up? Well, yeah, have any of them reached out to you guys, been like, what's
nope.
up?
Yeah, no, I was asking more in terms of like you guys clearly like you talk about riding waves, you guys are ahead of the wave, right? Like
right.
You guys are making the wave. I was more asking in terms of like, our traditional guys, like, yeah, Drama is an A&R, but like at Atlantic, he's high up in a building and has a high paying job to find this stuff. Are people like that reaching out because they see what you guys are doing? Like, they have to catch up.
No, nah, man, it's like the Hunger Games, man. Like, we in the district and they on the other side where the affluent at, and they don't care about what's going on.
Here's a really important question. Father only has one arm of his glasses. I'm wondering what happened to the other one. Is that on purpose?
I got beat up.
Did you really?
No,
I didn't get beat up.
You think he'll get beat up with
no,
me?
No, I don't know.
Right,
like, people swinging on McConan at SOBs. I don't know, like, you know, what's happening.
We wasn't there.
We were not.
I walked down to the McDonald's.
We
man.
Were there, but we outside.
I wasn't there, but they were.
You were there? You were outside?
Yeah, that was the
They made sure they waited until we weren't in, because there was too many of us. Because like, yeah, it would have been bad. Everybody would just dove off the stage.
Hold up. You guys, were you not let in to the...
No, we had performed. We had already performed.
You'd finished.
Yeah, we finished, and we were outside.
And McConan was doing his last set. He was about to hop off stage right before that happened anyway.
Okay, so, and so from what you guys understand, what happened?
No, we didn't even see bro come in. We didn't know.
We were unaware.
It was really on plotting. Nah, basically, I wasn't even there. I just watched the video three times. I'm like, yo, okay, so where's Awful? All right, I don't see none of my Awful dudes.
Right.
And everybody on stage that was rocking with him, that's not that crew. You
was
feel me? Yeah, it wasn't nobody on stage who was really about that action. Anyway, but yeah, I had got into a bad car accident. And this is how me and Poe really got tight. I hit a bus.
What?
A Georgia State bus. I'm dropping off this female. We arguing and shit. I don't know. I'm mad as fuck. I dropped her off. I'm on Baker Street. I see the Greyhound coming. And next thing you hear is just boom. I'm talking about my whole shit just crushed in. You know what I mean? Glass all in my life. I'm freaking the fuck out.
And
I just
drove
kept
like
going.
Six exits down
I just
the
kept
road.
Going just to go to a Vice interview. Like, I was just like, yo, I cannot miss this Vice interview. I'm going to jail, but fuck it.
What's the time?
I get to the Vice interview. I'm trying to play it off. These niggas are already seeing it in my face. You know, my hands bleed. I was like, yo, Poe, man, I'm about to go to jail, bro. He took me back to the scene, finessed the cop. I ain't even had to go to court, yo. My shit total, but, you know, I got a Mercedes right after that. So we good, you know what I mean? Off of records, we really balling, man.
We good.
Yo, that's something I take for granted so badly. I wouldn't do anything for a Vice interview.
I feel you.
See,
but
at the point in time, we thought it was something. We thought it was gonna be extra cool, and then we was like, oh, it's not that cool.
Nah, I'm kidding. I love you, Vice. Thank you for posting all of our stuff.
Wait, what happened to? Are you and the girl still talking? That's over. It kind of has to be over right after an accident like that. Which one?
Oh, yeah, we still talking, you know what I'm saying? But you got to realize, look, check me out, though. You got to realize it's not a lot of girls out there. You're going to deal, like, bro, you're going to deal with females on some shit that you sometimes you're going to be like, yo, fuck it. I still fuck with you on some shit, you know what I mean? But, you know,
I don't know what you mean at all.
Is this female the one that's on your background on your phone right there?
Oh, hell no. This is the one I'm going to meet when the check come in. She modeled for American Apparel. Okay. Yeah, she came to, she was at, you know, Rari? Yeah, okay. Rari, yeah.
Yeah.
We was cool back when before. She came to his show. I was spitting game at her, but she didn't know me. But she we'll
that's
catch
such
up.
That's such a funny, like, it's a true southern pronunciation of it, because I'm like Rari, like Ferrari, like
Rory. Rory. Yeah.
I'm always.
Oh, is that Rory?
It's
Rory.
I thought it was Rory.
It's
Rory.
From Atlanta.
Yeah.
I mean.
I just know he has a big hat.
Yeah. Yoga.
Wait, so out of the people that have reached out to you guys to like collaborate or just meet up, what have been your guys' like big surprises? Of like someone reaching out that you wouldn't expect them to.
ASAP motherfucker with a strong.
Bass God,
Lil B.
Yeah.
How was that conversation?
Great. He gave me his number, and I just hit him up for personal advice through the winter.
Don't know why.
I don't want to rain on your guys' parade, but Bass God reaches out to
everybody.
Yeah. But he gave me good text advice. Like, one time I was going through it, and he like, I'm like, yo, Bass God, help me out, bro. He's like, yo, just accept the hurt. That's what he told me.
Whoa.
It was deep. He was so deep. He was just like, don't force love, accept the hurt. And I'm like, thanks, man.
Wow.
I was on the south side listening to that shit. Niggas thought I was gay as hell. What the fuck you listening to? I'm like, all right, watch.
Well, were you listening to I'm Gay?
No, I was listening to Blue Flame, the hardest tape. Okay. The only tape Trapaholic did for Lil B. I was on that shit. That shit is fresh, bro.
Wait, have you guys ever been to a Lil B show?
Yes.
Nope.
I saw him. He didn't do any songs. There were songs in the background, and there was a lot of lights. I remember that. But people were mostly just passing him gifts.
Yeah.
Be them like, you know, women or books or so like bad. Flowers, like that's spatulas, so any of that.
Oh my God.
And then it ended.
Offerings.
And yes, a lot of offerings.
A lot of babies.
So ritualistic.
And then yeah. At the end of it, there was a big fight. And then it ended. And I was like, wow, what a weird, like, whiplashy sort of, you know, super positive to super negative.
Yeah. By the way, to be fair, you sacrificed your bitch to the Greyhound bus god.
Yeah, I did. Yo, that wasn't a good day, bro. Like, I was so psyched. Yo, I was clean as hell. My fit was so clean. I had just got this Supreme shirt. I'm talking about, yo. Yo, glass was everywhere. I was freaked out. Y'all ain't never seen me that freaked out. Yeah, this man right here helped me, bro. I supposed to be in jail for 5 months right now.
I ain't doing nothing.
This nigga saves me. He saves me, bro.
But back to Bass God. So I mean, Father, the name just reminds me of very religious iconography. You could be the new Bass God.
He don't want to be the new Bass God. He
yes,
don't
he do.
No, he don't.
Yes, he do.
What do you want
to
be?
I just want to father. Be yeah. Father. You know, aww. Just touch you, you know, put my hand on your shoulder and say it's going to be all right. And then you believe me.